Well, we are continuing with Laying the Foundations, and this is Section 3, Part 2. And here in Section 3, what we're doing is we're examining the various manifestations of tongues and their purpose. Now, we've already covered, in Part 1 of this section, we covered tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. We also covered tongues for interpretation. But now we want to go to the next one, which is tongues for intercession. Tongues for intercession. The operation of tongues, which is probably the most unfamiliar to the majority of Christians, is that of tongues for intercession. Is probably the most unfamiliar to the majority of Christians, is tongues for intercession. And for the Lord just brought this to my attention. Some of you along the way may have heard of the term warring tongues. When it comes to, there's nothing anywhere in Scripture about warring in tongues. And warring in tongues, so many people define it as when you are screaming and yelling in tongues and that you're doing warfare. Well, you know, you can scream to the top of your lungs, but you're not scaring any demons. I mean, they'll just laugh at you if you think that you're driving them away by screaming and yelling in tongues. You just wear yourself out. So anyway, that is not something that's going to be covered because it is not scriptural. However, this whole issue of tongues for intercession could sometimes lean in that direction. Many people referred to the tongues for intercession, they referred to this as travailing in the Spirit. And that phrase, travailing in the Spirit, you're really not going to find that in Scripture, but it's just a descriptive term. Travailing in the Spirit. Now, tongues for intercession is a form of praying in tongues. It is a form of praying in tongues. Look over in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we'll just pick this up in verse 26. Likewise, also, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, these verses in Romans portray the Holy Spirit being involved in our prayers for the purpose of accomplishing God's will. For the purpose of accomplishing God's will. I mean, he tells you right there, you don't know what to pray for as you ought. And so he's making intercession, it says, for the saints, according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit being involved in our prayers for the purpose of accomplishing God's will in our life and in the body of Christ. In our own life and in the body of Christ. Now, just to kind of clarify, too many people pull verse 28 out of context. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And they'll say that's talking about disaster and physical ailments, injuries, whatever. Hard things, rough things, bad things. And they say that, well, you know, all the bad things that happen, they work together for good. Well, no, that's not what this is talking about. Because if you leave it in context, it's talking about what the Holy Spirit is praying through us. And as he's praying through us, everything that is prayed will work together for good. Now, you kind of have to, this whole, the phrase here, work together for good, think of it like this, work together for the accomplishing of the will of God. Not good things as, ooh boy, that's great, I'll get $1 million by the end of the week. No, that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about everything will work out for the good, for the accomplishing of the Word of God. Now, there are two key words or phrases in this passage. One, it's the phrase, maketh intercession. It's in verse 27. Maketh intercession. And I put the Greek word there next to it. And you can go right ahead and try to pronounce it later on. But what it means is to intercede or plead for or in the behalf of someone. To intercede or plead for or in the behalf of someone. Usually tongues for intercession. Usually. It's not about yourself. It's about something other. A person, a situation, whatever. And the second word or phrase that's very critical for us is the word groanings. And this Greek word I think we could all pronounce, stenagmos. See there? That was easy. Now you're a Greek expert. Stenagmos. It means to groan. A groaning or sighing as of the oppressed. A groaning or sighing as of the oppressed. When the Holy Spirit moves on a person for this type of prayer, it comes forth in a very unique fashion. The person praying may almost sound as if he is in great agony or sorrow. It may sound as if he's in great agony or sorrow. It is almost as though he is grieving very deeply or greatly burdened over something or someone. It's almost as though he is grieving or very deeply or greatly burdened over something or someone. Additionally, he will feel a very intense passion during this time of prayer. He will feel a very intense passion during this time of prayer. And this is where the whole aspect of warring tongues would come in, because it's during tongues for intercession that you may feel this, and it comes out in a greater volume. Not every time, but it could happen this way. So I guess maybe that's where some people have come up with the idea of warring tongues. But it's, again, that phrase itself can't be found in the Bible. He'll feel a very intense passion during this time of prayer. Now, some people seem to believe that these feelings are a result of the individual experiencing the love and concern God has for a particular person who is in sin or facing a devastating situation. Rarely ever will the person know what he is praying about. That's very important. Pastor Dave Roberson shared a story about a young man who was on a submarine. This was over, I think, off the coast of Japan. And all of a sudden, one day, their submarine lost power and began to sink. And nothing they did could fix it. Nothing. So, thankfully, where they were located, they weren't in an area where it was so deep that the water pressure would crush the hull of the submarine, but it did go all the way down to the bottom. And the captain came on the radio for the people there. I mean, they could not communicate outside the submarine. And so the captain came on and he explained what was going on. And as he was speaking to the crew, He said, if any of you know how to pray, this would be the time to pray, because we're dead in the water. Well, the crew members, they began, you know, I don't know how to pray. You know how to pray? And this one fellow said, well, you know, my grandmother, she knows how to pray. I mean, you know, she's in church all the time, and, you know, and I guess he kind of was, well, turned out, you know, the grandmother, she's Pentecostal and so forth, tongues and all that. And they said, well, how are you going to get in touch with her and ask her to pray? He said, I don't know, but I tell you what, how about if we pray and ask God to tell her to pray for us? And so that's what they did. Amen. They asked God to get the grandma to pray. Well, it wasn't a whole long time. I don't know, maybe a couple of hours later, all of a sudden, all the power was restored to the submarine. And they rose back up. Well, after they got on land, I mean, they went immediately to the base because they had to have it checked out. So that young man, he called his grandma and he was talking to her. And she said, were you in some kind of trouble? He said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, because in the middle of the night, because, you know, the time change, all right? She said, in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, God woke me up and he had me start praying for you. And I guess it got rather intense. He said, well, Grandma, I'll tell you what happened. And he explained the whole situation to her. Well, see, that's an example of God moving on someone for that kind of intercessory prayer. And they didn't know. Now, she was just guessing. She didn't know for sure. But in that situation, she was guessing that this was about, you know, her grandson. So when this happens, you're not always going to know exactly what it is or who it is you're praying about. But you know what? You don't have to know. You just need to know that God is wanting to use you at that particular time to stand in the gap. Now, the reason for this is because God moves through his people. He depends on us for us to pray, to speak his word and so forth, because that enables him to move in us, on us, and through us. Prayer is so very, very important. It's so critical. And I, for me, as a kid growing up, and even kind of into my early adult life, the word pray or prayer, I found it to be such a boring word. Just, oh, pray. You know, who wants to do that? Pray. So maybe it sounds better if you say, spend some time talking to God about stuff, whatever the stuff would be, whatever term you like best. But nevertheless, it's for the purpose of accomplishing the will of God and this grieving that can take place in a person. I mean, you can almost feel like that your heart is breaking. Well, what God is trying to do is get across to you his passion for that particular situation, even though you don't know what it is. And praying in tongues is the only way to pray. Tongues for intercession will typically occur after a person has already been praying in the Spirit for a period of time. It will typically occur after a person's been praying in tongues, already been praying in the Spirit for a period of time. The reason for that is because as we're praying in the Spirit, I guess you could say it's like we're conditioning our spirit for God to take us into that level of intercession for somebody or something. However, it is also possible for a person to sense in their spirit that the Holy Ghost is wanting them to get alone for the purpose of interceding. And I remember when I attended the conferences there at Pastor Dave Roberson's church, they had a room specifically set aside for people who believed that God wanted them to begin interceding. And the reason they did that was because when God moves on somebody for that kind of intercession, it doesn't always fit well within the context of a church service. it can be very disruptive. Because God, if God was wanting the whole congregation to pray like that, then he would move on the entire congregation. Now that can happen. It absolutely can happen. But when a person believes that God is moving on them in that fashion, they really need to leave the service and go someplace in the building. If there's no place in the building to go, maybe go outside, get in their car, something, to separate themselves so that God can use them through this type of intercessory prayer and it not be a distraction for others. Because think of it like this. Let's say you have someone in the church, a visitor, not even filled with the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden somebody starts groaning and wailing in tongues. That could be kind of scary. They may not have a clue, you know, what's happening to this person? They might even think this is like some kind of a Halloween horror movie where they've been possessed by some kind of demon. People don't know. That's why you have to use great wisdom in these things. Also, there is no specific time limit for this kind of praying. It could last several minutes or possibly for hours. Now, I've heard of situations where some people were interceding, you know, tongues for intercession, for a couple of hours. But generally, what I have heard, when people are being used by God like this, it doesn't last hours. It might only last 5 or 10, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever, I don't know. But again, the point is this. It's not about a specific time limit. It's about God moving on you. And the thing is, when he does this for this kind of intercession, you're going to know it. You'll feel it in your spirit, if you will, where he is just really moving on you. For whatever reason, he's chosen you to be the vessel to intercede for a person or a situation. Now, this particular manifestation of tongues cannot be initiated by anyone other than the Holy Spirit. Pastor Dave talked about they were having a church one time, church service, and the Holy Spirit was moving throughout. I mean, a lot of people were being impacted. And there are some people, they were, well, what's called slain in the spirit. You know what I'm talking about. And there was a lady on the floor, and she was, I guess you could say, she's interceding with great volume. And her child came up to her, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, when are we going to leave? When are we going to..." And instantly, she stops the prayer and looks at him and says, "Can't you tell I'm travailing in the spirit, that I'm in intercession? Now, go sit down and leave me alone." And as soon as she said that to the kid, oh, she went right back into it. Okay, you can't do that. That is you telling yourself, based on emotions, to travail in the spirit. You can't make it happen. But you have to extend grace to those who think they can. And sometimes in situations, there are people that maybe need to be called aside and instructed. You need to be a little more wise and sensitive to the Lord in this. And if you can't, then you need to excuse yourself. Because I'm telling you right now, there are some Christians out there, they may do this. And I'll be nice about it. Subconsciously, it's to draw attention to themselves. Look who God is using. Look how I'm being used of God. Well, we all need to grow a little, don't we? We all need to grow a lot in the Spirit. So this whole aspect of intercession in tongues, only he, the Holy Spirit, will move on a person to start praying this way. And he will also lift this anointing when the time of prayer is over. And it's been my experience over the years that some people seem to be used by God more than others in this type of prayer. And that's okay. Again, don't ever become upset or discouraged because God hasn't used you in something like this, whatever it is, just keep pressing into God. He's going to use you some way or somehow. He will. But don't try to be what you see in other people. Don't try to manufacture a move of the Spirit upon your own life. Let God do it. Just go. And I know for me, man, I'm telling you, I remember years ago when I first started preaching, I was so impressed by these preachers. They'd have these prayer lines, and they'd lay hands on people, and boom, they'd fall down. It's like, wow, you must really be anointed of God to do that. And so when I began ministering and I would pray for people, you know, I'll admit it, part of me on the inside, I'm thinking, fall down, come on, fall down, come on, dude. And I tried to avoid pushing. You know, I didn't want to be one of those people. And, you know, I was always kind of disappointed. Like, man, nobody fell tonight. You know, I must be some kind of a failure or something. I don't get it. And if anybody ever did fall, I wanted to start dancing and jumping. Say, glory to God. Did you see that? Did you see that? I laid hands. She fell. Who? Did you see that? Me. I. My hands on her. I got over that. And now, if you fall, you fall. You better make sure it's the Holy Spirit, because I am not going to push you in any way, shape, or form. I remember one time I was in a prayer line, and there, I forget this preacher's name. He's passed on. Anyway, we're at this. I mean, it was an annual meeting in a Pentecostal denomination. All right. And those annual camp meetings can get really wild. Well, yes, I remember his name, but I won't say. And this preacher was known, here's what he would do. He would pray for people, but he'd take his Bible and open it like this, and he'd push it on their face or push it on their head while he was praying. And then, you know, people would fall down. And I remember one time, you know, in this service, I mean, this place was going wild. And he came off the platform, and he's going through the congregation, you know, doing this. And he called me out of my seat. And I don't even remember what he prayed for. All I know is this Bible was smashed all over my... And I kind of figured, if I don't fall down, this guy is going to knock my head off my shoulders with this Bible. So I went down what we call a courtesy fall. Yeah. Don't want to make the preacher look bad. So anyway, yeah, just keep that in mind, all right? And honestly, I just remembered this. And the church where Kathy and I first attended, we had a guest preacher come in. And I forget the guy's name, but he had a prayer line. And I was in the prayer line. The pastor's wife was in the prayer line. Well, anyway, he prayed for people. They're falling. And he got to her. And he's praying for her. He's praying for her. And I guess he was starting to push a little bit. And she just said, brother, I'm not falling. And he moved on to pray for other people. Don't feel like you got to fall down just because everybody else in the prayer line is falling down. All right? Now, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, now, if he gets on you, it is possible that, you know, you'll fall down. But nevertheless, tongues for intercession, you cannot do it just because you want to. Anytime we pray is a type of intercession, but it's not always going to be tongues for intercession. Now, tongues for prayer, also called tongues for edification. This is the fourth manifestation of tongues. And the most common manifestation of tongues is for an individual's personal prayer life. It's for an individual's personal prayer life. And there are several passages of Scripture which explain the value of and need for a Christian to pray in tongues. The value of and need for a Christian to pray in tongues. And praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit mean the same thing. Praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit. I heard a preacher one time talking about this. And he said, he was not, to my knowledge, I don't think this guy was filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if he believed in tongues or not. But anyway, he said praying in the Spirit is when you're praying, whatever thought you have, then that's what you're supposed to pray. The Holy Spirit is telling you to pray about that. Now, it sounds good, but how many of you have been praying and all of a sudden you start thinking about your laundry? Come on now. Or you start thinking about, you know, pizza. Yeah. Yeah. See, we've all been there. All kinds of thoughts can go through your mind while you're praying. So, just because it's in your mind doesn't mean that's what you're supposed to pray for. That's not praying in the Spirit. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And let's take a look here in verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. When we pray in tongues, it is our spirit producing the prayer, not our mind. When we pray in tongues, it is our spirit producing the prayer, not our mind. Now, this is important to remember because there are some people that seem to believe, they go before God, Oh God, I want a new car. And then they start praying in tongues, and they think that praying in tongues is praying in for a new car. Doesn't work that way. Why not? Because your natural mind is not in control of what is prayed when you pray in tongues. Your spirit, it is your spirit producing the prayer, not our mind. Since we are praying in a language that originates with God, our mind will not understand the words we are speaking. I remember there was a person, I think they were taking Spanish or something like that in school, and I was looking at their textbook, and I'm reading in this textbook, and I'm doing my best to pronounce the words that I see. And that person I knew was sitting there listening and said, wow, you're doing pretty good, you know, pronouncing all of this. Well, I had no idea what I was saying. I don't know what the textbook was talking about, but I'm pronouncing the words, at least pretty close to doing a good job of it. Well, see, that's the way it is with praying in tongues. It's not coming from your natural mind. And so, therefore, your natural mind will not understand the words we're speaking. Likewise, since we are speaking directly to God, other people will not understand what is being said. Now, this is not the same thing as tongues as a sign to the unbeliever, although God could move on it for it to become that. But you're speaking directly to God. Praying in the Spirit is the most pure and perfect method of praying to God. It is the most pure and perfect method of praying to God. It is very important for us to pray both in our own language and in tongues. And that is confirmed by what we read here by the Apostle Paul. I will pray in the Spirit. I'll pray with the understanding also. Both. Both are critical. Absolutely critical. But praying in tongues is, I guess you could say, the more perfect way to pray. But yet, you pray both ways. In fact, you know, Jesus even said, your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. So, obviously, when you're asking with the understanding. Now, when we decide to pray in the Spirit, The Holy Spirit communicates directly to our spirit what we should say. The Holy Spirit communicates directly to our spirit what we should say. The Holy Spirit completely bypasses our mind. Completely. When we speak forth those words, we then speak forth those words that the Holy Spirit is giving us. This is Holy Spirit to born again spirit. Direct communications. Our mind is left out of this process, which is why it is possible to think on other things while praying in the Spirit. And how many have done that? Yeah, if you're honest, you'll say, that's me right there. I've done that. You can pray in tongues and be cooking dinner at the same time. I mean, in your mind, imagining what you're going to fix for dinner. You can pray in tongues and envision, think about doing the laundry, but you're praying in tongues. I know myself. I've shared this before. I like to watch college football. I don't watch it the way I used to, but I like to watch it. And I'll sit there and watch a game and pray softly in tongues. My mind is engaged in the game, but my spirit is engaged with the Holy Spirit. I am praying in the Spirit. I can guarantee you this, as I'm praying in tongues, I am not interceding for my team. God could care less who wins. In fact, truth be told, football is probably not somewhere on God's plan for humanity. Because I can't see God saying, you know what, I'm going to move on humans to create a sport where people just pound on each other, break bones, and permanently injure each other just so they can throw an oblong ball all over the place and then fill a stadium with 100,000 people screaming and yelling who probably won't go to church the next day. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I don't see that. My spirit is not paying attention to the game, and neither is the Holy Spirit. Well, we speak forth the words that the Holy Spirit is giving us. Our mind is left out of this process, which is why it's possible to think on other things while praying in the Spirit. It is impossible to explain this in ways that make sense to human logic and reasoning. It is impossible to explain this in ways that make sense to human logic and reasoning. And this is why a lot of people dismiss praying in tongues, because, well, it doesn't make any sense. Well, how do you know what you're saying? I don't have to know. Well, if you don't know what you're saying, then how do you know you're praying something good? Well, see, you're telling me you're ignoring what's in God's Word about praying in tongues, and you're trying to come up with a human logic explanation for it. It's not going to work. You can't do that. It will never work. And that's why a lot of people never get filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to speak in tongues. Okay, then I'll pray for you to be filled. You know, well, what do I say? Well, I don't know. Well, tell me what I'm supposed to say. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Well, then how do I know what to say? It's like, okay, we got a bit of a challenge here. You don't understand what's happening. That's where the teaching part comes in. In Romans chapter 8, we already read this, verses 26 through 28. But it tells us there that the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit, helps us in the area of our infirmities. This is very important. In the area of our infirmities. Infirmities could be defined as our inability to produce results because of the limitations imposed on us by the flesh. Our inability to produce results because of the limitations imposed on us by the flesh. When we get born again, the power of God's life in us is the power to overcome everything that we need to overcome. Call it bad habits, call it sin, whatever. The power of God's life in us is strong enough. The problem, though, is that a lot of us, we don't know how to exercise that power to overcome a something. For example, let's take somebody who smokes cigarettes and they want to quit. They want to stop. But yet, the flesh is so in tune with those cigarettes that no matter how hard the person tries, they can't seem to stop, can't seem to stop. Well, the power of God's life in them is enough to get them to stop. But they don't know how to tap into that. They don't know how to work with it. So then what happens is this. We begin praying in tongues. And the Holy Spirit identifies that infirmity in our flesh. And the more that we pray in tongues, is the more the Holy Spirit is able to help us utilize the power of our new, born again, new nature, all right, to overcome that smoking. The Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit will not force us to quit, but He can bring us to the place of understanding how to quit by exercising the power of God's life on the inside of us. So this could be smoking, it could be drinking, it could anything. Anything. It could also be wasting your time, whatever that means to each person. What seems to be the inability to get your life in order. The power of God's life is enough to do that. But if we don't know how to exercise that power in our life, we'll see then the Holy Spirit can come along and help us out. Praying the Spirit helps us in the area of our infirmities. Now, this means that if there are things in our lives which seem to be holding us back, praying in the Spirit will assist us to overcome those things. Praying in the Spirit will assist us to overcome those things. I just don't know why I'm always late for everything. Doctor's appointment, late to work, late to church. I don't understand. I try so hard to be on time, but I just can't seem to do it. Well, let's see. You got hired to do a job, right? That's right. And the working hours are 8 to 5, right? That's right. Yes. Okay, so then when you accepted that job, you gave your word that you were going to be there on time. But now you're showing up 8:05, 8:10, 8:20, whatever. And you're saying you just don't know what's going on. Guess what? The Holy Spirit knows what's going on because the power of your new nature is the power to be there on time. Whether it's to work, doctor's appointments, to church, it doesn't matter. Now, that's just one example. As you begin praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is going to help you understand where you're messing up before you ever leave to go to wherever it is you're going. He's going to help you see this. Then He will minister to you the wisdom to bring about the change. He's going to help you get this done. And this is a major problem for a lot of Christians. And I don't mean the being on time thing, but battling with situations that they could overcome but don't, because they don't understand how to exercise the power of their born-again spirit, the power of God's life on the inside of them, against whatever that thing is, whatever it is. By praying in tongues and continuing to pray. Now listen, I'll tell you, sometimes you got to have to do a lot of praying in tongues, because whatever this thing is you're trying to or need to overcome, it may have deep roots on the inside. Well, the Holy Spirit is not going to just help you, you know, cut off the flower. He's going to help you uproot this thing so that you change. You become different. And your life lines up with the nature and the character of God. I cannot emphasize this enough. If you've got stuff in your life, don't ever dismiss it and say something like, well, you know, that's just me. Well, that's just how I am. Well, you know, grandma was like this and Mom was like this. I guess I get it honestly. No, what a cop-out. Are you born again? Well, yeah, I'm born again. Guess what? You have a new father. You're the offspring of God. So don't excuse it. whatever it is. Don't continue to excuse it. Continue pressing in to overcome and live victoriously. Additionally, we do not know what God knows. He is omniscient, which means He knows everything even before it happens. He is omniscient. And I'm just wondering how many different ways that word's going to be spelled on all these outlines. O-M-N-I-S-C-I-E-N-T. Well, it's like a cheerleader, yeah. Okay. Which means He knows everything even before it happens. He's God. He lives outside of our time. He also knows the choices we should make. No matter what it is, He knows the choices we should make. And sometimes the choices we should make aren't the choices that we think we should make. But He knows. We do not know everything we should pray about. We don't know everything we should pray about. And we also do not know exactly how we should pray about what we do know. I mean, really, when you think about it, everything we face in life, no matter what it is, and we pray about it, we do not know every minute detail of the situation, whatever it is we're praying about. We don't know, but God does. Now, praying in tongues enables the Holy Spirit to help us pray exactly according to God's will. Exactly according to God's will. Now, I do believe that it is possible sometimes to go to God and say, you know, God, I'm facing such and such, whatever, it doesn't matter, decision, whatever. And Father, I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm asking You for wisdom, and I'm going to pray in tongues. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking You to help me with this. And I do believe that there are times that the Holy Spirit will work with you, praying in tongues through you for that very situation that you're identifying. That's different than saying, I want a new car. I'm going to pray in tongues till I get it. That's a totally different situation whatsoever. It is literally impossible to pray outside of God's will when we pray in tongues. Absolutely, positively impossible to pray outside of God's will when we pray in tongues. The more we pray in tongues, the more the things we pray about will work together to bring about God's perfect will for us as individuals and for the body of Christ. The more we pray in tongues, the more things we pray about will work together to bring about God's perfect will for us as individuals and for the body of Christ. See, again, I want to emphasize the fact that our prayers are a way of getting God involved in our life. How many times, my pastor, the very first pastor I ever had at our Baptist church, S.M. Mulkey, his favorite song was, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And in that song, it talks about the needless burdens that we bear and the needless pain that we carry and so forth, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Now, there's a lot of truth in that. I mean, no, there is truth. That is truth. As Barry would say, that's absolute truth. That is truth. The more we pray in tongues, the more the things we pray about will work together to bring about God's perfect will for us as individuals and for the body of Christ. From this perspective, it is critical that we pray in the Spirit as often as possible. It's critical that we pray in the Spirit as often as possible. Unless a person prays in tongues, he will never experience the fullness of what is described in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. Unless we pray in tongues, we'll never experience the fullness of what God is describing in His Word. And these folks that have, I mean, I've had it said to me, I can pray with the understanding and be praying the same thing, get the same results. But you can't. Now, we're supposed to pray with the understanding, but when we're praying in tongues, we are praying the perfect will of God. And if we don't know everything that we should know, it's impossible to pray the perfect will of God. So it's very critical that we do pray in the Spirit. Oh, Father, I want to thank You for today. thank you for what you're revealing to us. And I know, Father, as we continue on in this section, you're going to help us understand even more about what happens when we pray in the Spirit and why we need to pray in tongues. It's so important, Father, because you gave this gift to us for a reason. In Jesus' name, amen.